You're listening to Radio Doomsday Live. This is Mike Luckman, your host on the Planet X Network. You're in for a big, big surprise in tonight's program. This is exactly almost to the hour, 6 months in the countdown to the end date of the Mayan calendar, which, according to the Reuters news agency, 10% of the population believe, rightly or wrongly, that this means that it's doomsday and the end of the world. I myself do not believe that. However, I do think some amazing, extraordinary things are going to be happening that we don't anticipate, not of a physical nature on that particular date, but in terms of a move into a new state of consciousness, hopefully for the entire human race. I've been in touch with the Mayan elders, and I keep on referring to that because it's extremely important. I had the good fortune of meeting them this last year in New York City, where they performed a rite called the Legend of the 13 Crystal Skulls. And this was a very, very amazing event that happened here that really changed my mind 100% on what I believe is going to happen to us in the not-too-distant future. And some of it's very, very good, but some of it isn't so good, and the part that isn't so good we really need to start to prepare for. Now, Radio Doomsday Live has been getting a lot of press recently. There's a story that GlobalPost.com did that showed up in, of all places, the official NASDAQ Stock Exchange website on their front page. And in addition, tonight I'm happy to report that there's a great story on the Huffington Post, and since it just came out tonight, the world will be getting that story certainly by tomorrow, and I expect a lot of media to be at my door. But more important than that, tonight we're going to conduct an unusual experiment. I figure with 6 months left to the countdown to the Mayan calendar, that this would be an ideal time to try to make contact with extraterrestrials. And you might very well say, well, what do extraterrestrials have to do with any of this? Some people might even say, hey, they might be behind some of these problems that we're experiencing, some of these environmental things. I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's the human race that is causing some of these problems. And also, very importantly, the Earth would have been in pretty much the same bad shape because that's how the Earth continents are formed on the Earth, and that's the history of the Earth, and the rise and fall of civilizations is a fact that we've got to get used to. We've been inclined toward very fortunate to have pretty decent weather for most of our life, for most of the people listening to tonight's broadcast. But it hasn't always been like that, and today, tonight as we speak, it's close to 100 degrees here in New York City. My brother happens to be with his family on a tour of China, and he says it's oppressively hot there. And Anthony Carr, my next guest, an internationally known psychic who's also known as a modern-day Nostradamus, and he's on that label for good reason. We all feel that Anthony's told me that the temperature there has also been extremely hot. I think it's the greatest temperature that there's been in history, in modern day history, in Toronto as we speak right now. Before we go any further, before I introduce Anthony, I want to give out our toll-free number for tonight's broadcast in the United States and Canada. It's toll-free 1-888-429-5471. I don't have that number yet memorized. It's 888-429-5471. Call up the show. I'll take on anyone having to do with this subject. I welcome skeptics. The Huffington Post story happens to reference NASA officials and something that they have had to say, in which they're trying to say that this doomsday thing is all a hoax. Well, I think some of the things that NASA is saying really add up to a hoax, and the denial of extraterrestrials add up to a hoax. to a hoax, let me say. And let me tell you a little bit about Anthony. Anthony Carr and myself have known each other for several years now, and Anthony happens to be the holder of Houdini's mystical crimson ring. Anthony predicted accurately 9/11, Operation Desert Storm, the Japanese tsunami, and Michael Jackson's death, and I just name a few. And he's done readings for everyone from Frank Sinatra and Sylvester Stallone to you name it. Gorbachev, he's been there with the some of the most important people on the planet. And tonight, he's going to assist me in trying to make contact with extraterrestrials. This is an experiment that I would like all of the listeners to join in worldwide and to use the Internet as a way to facilitate, hopefully, making contact. But before we get into that, I want to ask Anthony about parallels between what is happening now and what Nostradamus predicted might happen, including the prediction by Nostradamus that a terrible comet would be coming toward Earth. Perhaps he's talking about Planet X. I'd like to get Anthony's take on this. And he's also written some really very, very interesting lines that look like they could have been written by Nostradamus, but they were written by Anthony Carr, having to do with some of the things that we may be facing in a not-too-distant future. Anthony, welcome to Radio Doomsday Live.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. I was just talking with Jacqueline Stallone, and I'm sorry I didn't tell her about the radio network, Doomsday Radio.
If
she'd had a little more notice, we could have had a three-way here.
Oh, well, we can do that again. We can get Jacqueline on maybe next week's show. We'll work that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, so I'm glad to be here, and nice to talk with you again after low these many months. And I'm sure your show is going to be a raging success. I predict it'll be a huge success and will spread ever wider.
It's already being referred to tonight in the Huffington Post story, which just came out tonight, so it'll be breaking in a bigger way, I think, by tomorrow.
My favorite analogy, your show reminds me of my favorite analogy of throwing a pebble into a pond, a mill pond, and the ripples will spread ever wider, my son.
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you. Do you have those
lines? You're going to give me my $50 now, you promise?
What's that?
You're going to pay me my $50, you promise, for that?
Well, no, you had written some material for a book, I believe it was published, Stargazer, and which you're talking very much like Nostradamus about some of the things that you believe are going to immediately occur here on Earth. Could you give us just some hint at some of those views?
Well, for one thing, I've always I'm of the same opinion that you are, that we were created by a race of star travelers from a distant dimension, another galaxy. A series that I think the closest binary star system to Earth is Reticula 1 or Reticula 2, and they revolve around each other. And it's apparently, 4.2, 4.5 light years from Earth. And it would take just about 2,000 years Earth time to arrive here, and it would take about the same to return, traveling at the speed of light. I've often said, as you know, and in my writings, ever since I was a kid and I read Chariots of the Gods, that was an epiphany for me by, what's his name again? I'm getting old. Chariots of the Gods. Eric von Daniken.
Yeah.
Of course, there are theories and rumors that he himself may not have written the book, but a Frenchman had written about it, and there was accusations of plagiarism and all that. I don't know. Nothing concrete has ever been said about that. However, we acknowledge von Däniken as being the author. And when I was a kid, that opened a whole new world for me. And I went through the entire Christian Bible and also the Quran, and I started comparing all of the chapters and all of the manifestations of angels and gods, and comparing them to extraterrestrials having landed
right.
on Earth and what they would look like.
Huh?
Now, you know, for the last half century, I've been writing about this stuff, and it's being published
yes.
worldwide through the Toronto Sun. That's the newspaper for which I write a syndicated
right.
column called Number One Apometry,
yeah.
called Hands of Destiny, and also Stargazer. So many of these shows to self-aggrandize that you see on Discovery Channel and all of these about Jacob's Ladder and Wheels Within Wheels, I had written almost 45, 50 years ago after von Däniken's book, and a lot of these people have, I won't use the word plagiarized, but certainly have, shall we say, liberally enjoyed my articles. And
right.
in those days, I wrote the article.
I take it that you're familiar with Zechariah Sitchin, who just
oh,
passed
absolutely.
Away about
Zechariah
a year ago.
Sitchin, sure. That he passed away about a year ago. I have all of his books, and I think it was the first. His first book was it the 13th Planet or the 12th Planet? 13th
yes,
Planet.
Yes, he put out about 12 books. When do you think Planet X is getting here? If it's Planet X out there, when do you think we're going to see it up in the sky?
Well, just to touch on Zechariah Sitchin, I was always amazed by his interpretation of. Of the Exodus from Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Was it Abraham? Was it Abraham? Who left Sodom and Gomorrah with his daughters? And they were warned not to turn and look back at the explosion and destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they reached,
right.
the, peak, they reached the peak of a sand dune. And was it Abraham's wife? Anyway, the one who escaped... they got over the sand dune, all but his wife, who turned back and was turned into, as the Bible says, a pillar of salt. And Zechariah Sitchin said the ancient interpretation of the word salt was vapor. So
right.
she wasn't turned into a pillar of salt, she was vaporized, which indicates to me that probably both of those cities were destroyed by a nuclear
okay.
explosion. And they've done...
Okay, Anthony,
yes.
but now Planet X, though, do you believe in Planet X? Is this the comet that Nostradamus is referring to? And is it possibly related to the third secret of Fatima, which I've found out had to do with a body coming in from space that could obliterate a large portion of the human race? Does that correlate with your information
well,
and your psychic readings?
Well, the short answer... The short answer for my interpretation of December 21st, 2012, is no, nothing specifically is going to happen on that date. However, nothing more than what we're already experiencing and seeing. It's the beginning of incredible weather changes, as we see by the temperature soaring in New York and in Toronto here the last couple
yeah.
of days. You're going to see... the southern climate areas, the southern climate of the United States and Canada. And I told you for many years I've had this vision of mass exodus and migrations of people up toward the Northwest Territories.
Right.
And I would assume that the climates are, the areas are unlivable, uninhabitable down there, either too wet or too hot. And these other areas, the Northwest Territories and perhaps even Alaska and the Arctic, will become more temperate. And as you know, at one time, these places, the Antarctic and the Arctic, were once southern tropical zones because they've done deep drilling now down beneath the polar caps. They pulled up ancient vegetation from forests over 450 million years old. So that proves that at one time that these areas were once quite tropical. So
okay.
something
if
happened.
You guys, if, you, If anyone out there would like to call us up, we're at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. That's a toll-free number. You can ask Anthony almost about anything, and I'd be happy also to answer your questions. I'll give that out once again. It's 888-429-5471. Be sure to tell your friends about this show, because we plan to use the social media to get the word out. The Huffington Post story that's out tonight, the story that was done by Global Post this last week that hit the front page of the official NASDAQ website, the stock exchange website, has done a lot, and people are beginning to discover the show. We have a huge job to do if we want to prepare people for what may be coming our way, whether it's Planet X or other disturbances and earth changes that can be very, very severe in nature. So, let everyone know about the program. I also very strongly suggest, if you want to get some information about any of these issues relating to 2012, I highly recommend that you go to the official December 21st, 2012.com website. That's www.December21, 2012.com. It's run by John Kane. He's doing an excellent job. He approaches this from a news angle, and he has great videos on there. And he does an excellent editing job of the best available information. Most importantly, he looks at it from practically every major culture, and they all, ladies and gentlemen, coincide, and they come to very, very similar conclusions. We are indeed living in the end times, but nothing's going to happen physically, particularly on that date of December 21st. You don't have to worry about that, but you have to worry about what's going on right now. I've been talking about this since the beginning, since we started the show several weeks ago. I mean, birds are dropping from the air by the hundreds of thousands. Fish are washing up on beaches by the hundreds of thousands. 4,000-year-old trees are dying. There's something isn't right. And you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that these aren't ordinary times. And needless to say, the economy is really bad, and we've just seen the very beginning of that. At the very least, people need to start to store food, if you're not doing it already, store food and water, because if the power grid goes as a result of these unbelievable sun eruptions that have been happening, these solar super flares that have been happening that NASA scientists have been warning about, without that power grid, there will be, within a matter of a couple of days, even less, no food in the supermarkets or in grocery stores. There won't be any water because that runs on electricity. People might not think that you need electricity to get water from their home or apartment, but they do. There will be no medicine or medical supplies, no communication. We'll literally be plunged back into the dark ages. Now, I want to give out the number again. Toll-free number in the United States and Canada is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. I would like to, Anthony, see whether we can launch this little experiment, or maybe not so little experiment, to try to make telepathic contact with extraterrestrials who may be out there and who may in some way be able to help the human race in this particular time of need, whether it's the Anunnaki, the inhabitants of Planet X, or Nibiru, as it was known by the ancients, or some other extraterrestrial race or races. We know they're out there. We know that they're visiting here because I have 400 videotaped depositions by former military people who worked in the Pentagon, most of them in the 1960s and 70s, and they say on video that they're willing to go before Congress and testify if they're provided presidential immunity. Now, about the existence of UFOs, about the Roswell crash in 1947 in New Mexico. President Obama, has been less than candid on this issue, as have most of the presidents. Obama recently was asked by Will Smith's son, the actor. Will Smith's son asked him whether he what the truth was about Roswell, and he said that he couldn't confirm nor deny the Roswell incident. Well, I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? Of course he can confirm or deny it. Which one is it? Bill Clinton was very, very interested in the Roswell case. In fact, so much so that he told Webster Hubble, his who at one time was an assistant to him, and went over to the he was his good golfing buddy as well, went over to the Justice Department when he was about to go over there as the assistant attorney general under Janet Reno. Clinton asked Hubble that he told Hubble that there were two things he was interested in getting to the bottom of. One was who killed his hero, John F. Kennedy, and second, the truth about UFOs. And yet, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and I'll keep on saying this, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were personally briefed by the late Lawrence Rockefeller, a New York City-based philanthropist and the oldest of the four Rockefeller brothers, who believed very strongly in UFOs and was trying to orchestrate the blow the whistle on Roswell and get that information out to the public. They were shown documents. Bill and Hillary Clinton were shown documents that were formerly top secret UFO documents that came out of the Air Force and other governmental agencies only as a result of the Freedom of Information Act, as a result of lawsuits, essentially. And some of these documents that they were shown have national security implications, things having to do with UFOs being sighted and coming close, commercial airplanes, as well as, very importantly, the visitation of UFOs at a string of nuclear weapons storage areas at bases all over the United States. And for them to not say anything, as a matter of fact, they told Rockefeller, Hillary told Rockefeller, please don't bring this up again on Rockefeller's ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And Bill Clinton told Rockefeller that he wouldn't want to get involved with this any further because it was like it was political quicksand, and it would be suicidal politically for him to get involved. Now, you know that there's a lot here that people need to know. Now, we're going to reach out in an experiment tonight and try to make contact telepathically with extraterrestrials, and we're going to do this with 6 months remaining to the last date in the Mayan calendar. And that last date, by the way, we know one thing is going to happen for sure, and that is that we align with the direct center of the Milky Way galaxy, behind which is a giant black hole. The black hole is not going to swallow us up, but it is there. And some astronomers have detected what may be intelligent signals coming from the dead center of the Milky Way. Could that be the Anunnaki knocking on our door or about to knock on our door? I think it could be, and I'll tell you why I think that. Not only do the Mayans believe that their space gods will soon be returning, and they do believe in Planet X, so they would be most likely the same or similar space gods, but but there is this intelligence signal, and the crop circles, and admittedly, a lot of the crop circles that have been seen, and I'm not that big on crop circles, generally speaking, but I do think that they could be important. And who would go through all of the trouble of replicating symbols having to do with the so-called 12th planet or Planet X or Nibiru or whatever you might want to call it, which is most of what we feel are legitimate crop circles, have these symbols on it, and they're showing up at this particular time. So these aren't normal times. These are what I really believe are the end times. And what better person to pick to help in this undertaking to try to make contact than Anthony Carr, one of the world's great psychics. And we're going to...
I wish you'd pick a better word than undertaker.
Right now, to any beings, intelligent, advanced beings that may be out there that we could communicate with. And what I'm asking these beings to do is to make some kind of a physical manifestation, a physical sign that they're here, such as flashing lights on a UFO. You know, not only have UFOs been coming closer, you only have to go to YouTube and look at the more legitimate ones to see that they've been coming a lot closer in world capitals and all over in many, many cities of the world. But also, we're becoming more open to them, and as we do, I think they become more open to us. So there have been at least 5,000 cases written about where there's been signaling that has been done, initiated by humans, toward extraterrestrials using means as primitive as flashlights and as sophisticated as lasers. And there have been signals, intelligent signals, or apparently intelligent signals that have come back. So, Anthony, if you'd like to say a few words to any extraterrestrial visitors who may be out there, I would appreciate it.
First of all, I have to ask you, when did you first develop this inferiority complex about not talking very much? You really have to get out of your shell there, Mike. Climb out of your shell.
Besides being a musician, a psychic and a musician, Anthony is a great comic, too.
Well, a great frustrated comic. But I mean, what more can I say? See, you know where I stand on this issue, or actually sitting where I am right now, but before the peoples of the world experience a great cosmic cataclysm, we still have a couple of little skirmishes amongst ourselves we have to deal with first. And first and foremost, I really do believe we're heading for World War III. And you talk about a paucity of food and water and so on. Don't forget, we have on our planet now, 7 billion people? On a planet which is only capable of sustaining about 3 billion, maybe 4. So it's just a matter of numbers and economics. So we shortly will be involved in a world conflict, which will probably
shortly, Anthony, what are we talking about in terms of time? What do you think?
Oh, I think around 2013. The Earth, just like warring red ants and black ants, we're going to have to eliminate half of ourselves, destroy half of the human race in order to sustain the rest, and the rest will go on and live as they did through World War I, World War II. Then, according to all the various prophecies of the various religions throughout the world, the Quran, the Bible, the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the five Mosaic books, that in the middle of this great skirmish, Christians and Jews call it the return of Jehovah, God, the Great One, back of Revelations refers to not God, but refers to the Lord and his host shall return to the earth to stop the bloodshed, lest all flesh perish. So while we're slitting each other's throats, there will be some kind of intervention, and I do believe, as you do, that these are the star travelers who created us in the first place. Now, I had somebody send me an email the other day saying, oh, you and your star travelers, that's the work of the devil, if ever I've heard anything so ridiculous. I said, well, let me tell you this, that the devil himself is also a star traveler. There no doubt was a war in heaven, just like Star Wars being everybody. And, I talked to a great rabbi here who has now shed his mortal coil. His name is Rabbi Plout. And I said, according to your teachings, I said, if you and the Jewish people, the Israelites, are God's chosen people, and if God was on this earth and set you free from Egypt, I said, and according to that theory of a war in heaven, that means that you're not God's chosen people. I said, technically you're the devil's chosen people because he was cast down to earth. And he just tented his, he had a good sense of humor, he just tented his fingers and says, yes, I have heard this.
Yes.
There will be intervention. Now, and I also, as you've heard me say so many times, you know, the, many of my Jewish friends always say, well, when is he coming? When is he coming, you know, to save the show? I said, don't be in such a big hurry, because just like H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds, and don't forget, most of H.G. Wells' stories and predictions down through the years have all come to pass in one way or another. Submarines, planes, wars,
right.
You know, all that. Now, who's to say that when they return, there won't be a great culling procedure to weed out the genetically inferior animals, which I'm sure we are to them, and just keep the rest for breeding and possibly for food for themselves. I said we're so polluted with all the preservatives and drugs in our systems. I think we're safe there. So
okay, I would like
to,
one,
we
getting
have
back
to
our experiment. Wait 1 second, Andrew.
They will
getting
be
back,
back
to our
shortly.
Experiment to contact extraterrestrials. The number again for the show is 888-429-5471. That's 1-888-429-5471 in the United States and Canada. Please call in. What I'd like you to do is to go to your windows right now and to look out and send a positive message of peace to any extraterrestrial visitors who may be out there not too far away that might want to signal us in some way to show that they're aware of Radio Doomsday Live and they're aware of the condition of the human race, and perhaps they can help us in some way to get out of this this quagmire that we're in, and hopefully to help millions of people and more to survive this coming onslaught.
Or like Mr. Beale on Network, the movie, go to the window and say, I'm damn tired of this, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes. Absolutely. And by the way, if any of you have a quick personal reading from Anthony, he'd be happy to oblige you if you call in at 888-429-5471. Anthony, I think your idea about having Jacqueline Stallone, who's a psychic and an astrologer and a friend of yours, of course.
Great astrologer. Great astrologer.
Yeah, and of course, Sylvester Stallone's mom. I know that Coast to Coast was interested in having them at some point, having her on the show. I would love to have you and Jacqueline on the show.
And if you think I'm a comedian, where do you talk with her? Well, you already know that.
I have spoken to her. I know that she can be quite hilarious and also quite tough.
That's right. The expression tough old broad really applies to Jacqueline, let me tell you.
Well, yes, but she does believe in UFOs. I found that out when I interviewed her after I had written my book, Alien Rock, which, of course,
was
read by Prince William and a bunch of other Hollywood types. And I'm currently, incidentally, working on a new book called The End Times Bible and Survival, a Doomsday Survival Catalog. And so I'm looking for material, and anyone who has anything, I'd certainly like to, any companies that are involved with the survival and preparedness movement, I'd certainly like to know about your products, and maybe we can put some ad spots on the show and get your support. If anyone wants to contact me personally, they can send me an email. I don't mind. It's Nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002, at AOL.com. That's Nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002, at AOL.com. If you'd like to know more about joining the Cosmic Majority, which is a new organization that seeks to make contact with extraterrestrials and deal with the various earth changes that are ahead, please do contact me, and I'll let you know how you can become a member of the Cosmic Majority. Anthony, let's go back to just a little bit to Planet X, because you know I found out that the third secret of Fatima, which is the greatest secret held by the Vatican, has to do with an incoming object, and that would seem to correlate to with many, many things. I mean, not only Nostradamus' reference to a comet, but also what the Babylonians and the Sumerians all wrote about and saw coming our way, and also referred to in the New Testament as the Wormwood Comet. All of these things correlate. And by the way, for those of you who are not familiar with the Third Secret of Fatima, this goes all the way back to 1917 when three young shepherd kids parent contact with the Virgin Mary, or a figure that they considered to be the Virgin Mary. And they were not only given these secrets, but they were told that to convince the public that there would be a miracle performed. And on one day back in 1917, as word spread from village to village, something like 70,000 people showed up in a field in Fatima, Portugal. And it was raining like crazy, and they were all soaked, and it was a muddy field. And they didn't know what to expect. In fact, some people were upset with the kids, and they thought the kids might have just been making up a story. But they looked up, and they at first they didn't see anything. It was totally overcast, the clouds and whatnot. But then they finally saw, in the place where the sun, the clouds broke over, open a little, and they saw in the place where there would normally be the sun, what was later referred to as by many observers, including members of the press, as a dancing sun. This was described as a very large object that looked the size of the sun, spinning metallic, grayish metallic object with colors spinning off the outer edges of it. And at one point it bobbed up in the sky, and at one point started to plunge toward Earth. It stopped at the cloud level. Many people dropped down on their knees to pray and thought it was the end of the world. It retreated back up into the sky and then disappeared. And there were photos that were taken, by the way, but not very good ones. And most of the photos were also confiscated by the, unfortunately, by the Catholic Church. But this was an event witnessed by many, and obviously, I believe, an extraterrestrial event. No, secret number one had to do with World War One. It was right on target. Secret number two had to do with World War Two. Secret number three was never revealed, and doesn't, as far as I know, have to do with World War Three, although you might guess that it would. But rather, secret number three, which has been kept bottled up all of these years, and there's a movement in the Catholic Church to get this information out. According to Pope John Paul II himself, and according to Malachy Martin, who was a Father Malachy Martin, who was a priest who was very closely connected with both the current Pope, Pope Benedict, as well as John Paul II.
You talking about Malachy's list of popes right down to the end time? Are you talking? Are you referring to St. Malachy's list of popes right to the end times?
Well, I'm not referring to that. What I'm referring to is an incoming object that that Pope John Paul II told some pilgrims in Fatima when he was visiting there that there wouldn't be any point to revealing the truth about it, because they had asked him point blank, why doesn't the Vatican put this information out? And he said there wouldn't be any point in it because if there was a circumstances where there would be a where from one moment to the next there would be such extensive flooding that millions of people would die, that there wouldn't be any point in his view of putting it out. Now, Malachy Martin also is on record as saying that this, and he was one of the very few people who had access to this information, that had to do with a large incoming object, perhaps Planet X. He didn't say Planet X, but a comet, maybe the Nostromo.
Well,
comet,
funny you should mention, you remember in my 2010 book of predictions, predictions and prophecies, it says here, yeah, in the publisher's note, 2000, which you have a copy of, I then said, quote, a great comet not yet observed is on a collision course with Earth, yet a slight deviation from its elliptic orb miraculously spares us from being slammed into oblivion, unquote. In brackets, I got first prophesied Stargazer 2010, to wit, dashing for cover from an asteroid, March 12th, and that was in the, and this discovery, they observed this now just a month or two ago, dashing for cover from an asteroid, which is in the March 12, 2012 Toronto Star. So this comet that's on its way here will skim the surface of the Earth. It will come very, very closer than any comet probably in recorded history, and it will be a wake-up sign. It will cause some damage, some upset, but it will miss us, but very, very close by a hair's breadth.
Yeah, by the way, we're focusing on December 21st this year, just exactly.
Well, it's on its way here still, and it will arrive about that time.
Anthony, what do you think? You know, there's some information that has been coming out concerning a possible second sun. In fact, I think even scientists have said they have some explanation for it, but that by perhaps as early as December 21st, 2012, that there will be two suns in the sky. What do you know about that?
Well, you know, I've made references in my book of predictions the last couple of years that there would be something resembling two moons in the sky.
Yes.
But two heavenly bodies of some kind, one being natural and the other being man-made or alien-made or something hovering around or orbiting our planet at the same time.
I see.
And that's what I think that will be. It will be observing us and interfering eventually with us and so on. And, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind's eye. And I don't, you know, a lot of people are reluctant to accept the fact that the airy fairy gods that we were taught with angels' wings and birds' wings on their back means that perhaps there's no afterlife, then we're dead, and so on. Well, I don't believe that because, again, I believe that these beings are so far advanced that they can actually raise the dead, as mentioned in many of the religious writings around the world, through cloning the DNA right down below the cellular atomic level, that you and I or anyone could be replicated perfectly with your memory intact and everything, because it's all contained right in there. You know, the Jewish people, as you know, when they're buried, they would rather be buried whole with everything intact, no missing limbs, and for that very reason, because when the Messiah comes, that they will be revived in whole as they were in the living body. Well, you don't need the missing limb. You don't. It's all contained right there in the DNA, right of just a little. Even if you were lying in your grave for 1,000 years, everything could be regenerated and revived, sort of like add water and mix, and there you are, perfectly revived. Even if you've been asleep for 1,000 years, it would be as though you were asleep just for 24 hours.
Right. See? You're listening to Radio Doomsday Live, your Planet X network. I'm Mike Luckman, your host, and the phone number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We only have about 10 minutes or 15 minutes left, Anthony. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about, just one second. I wanted to ask you about the...
well, you're going to let me go after all we've met to each other?
The Fukushima, Japan nuclear meltdown, and how serious, because that has not been put out, and there's some people who fear, and people in the know.
Well, I'll tell you how serious it is. Think back to the Russian... now, I'm having a senior's moment. The nuclear reactor meltdown there 20 years ago.
In Russia,
What's it called again?
In Russia.
Well,
we're talking about
already,
the same one, yeah.
Already it's affecting us. But anyway, I said then that you watch for a wave of bone cancer, brain cancer. It'll take 20 years, but that cloud... That cloud floated around the world several times, and of course the media kept the cover on it all. But there's no doubt in my mind that the rash of serious carcinomas and illnesses and so on, brain cancer, is a result of the skips my mind. This will be even worse. In 10 years, 20 years, it will contribute to all kinds of horrible ailments. My only hope, and I made this a prediction once, is that this planet is so polluted with the pesticides and preservatives and nuclear fallout and going back to strontium 90 in the milk. Remember that?
Right.
Well, the first nuclear testing in Nevada, and everybody was afraid that the milk, the cows, the grass would all be infested with the strontium 90, which is a fallout from the nuclear bomb testing, and we'd all. But
yeah.
I think over a period of decades that humans will build a sort of immunity against these things, and will probably stand us in good stead eventually.
You know, you predicted, Anthony, the Japanese tsunami. And as a result of that tsunami, that debris, some of which most likely is radioactive, covers a mass on the ocean as large as the state of California and is going toward California from Alaska as we speak. Bluefin tuna have been discovered to have what is called low doses of radiation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be eating a tuna fish sandwich that has any radiation in it.
Well, you know, the best way to check for any radiation in fish is just to turn the fish upside down and cut off its head.
All right. I want to thank you, Anthony Carr, for being my special guest tonight on a very special night, 6 months countdown to the end of the Mayan calendar on December 23rd.
Well, let me just finish by saying I really don't think anything will happen on that day, but let me quickly add that if I'm wrong, sue me. But don't sue me until the 22nd. Not until the 22nd.
Okay, Anthony. Ladies and gentlemen, please thank you again, Anthony. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radio Doomsday Live. I'm your host, Mike Luckman. We're on every Thursday night at 12 midnight Eastern time for an hour, and we're also on starting at 9 o'clock Pacific time. We're heard worldwide on the internet. If any of you have had contact with, believe that you've had any kind of contact or sightings relative to extraterrestrials or UFOs tonight in our little experiment, please be sure to contact me. The best way to do that would be to send me an email at nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002@AOL.com. That's nebula, 2002@AOL.com. And actually, we have a few more minutes. Anthony, are you still there?
Michael, let me ask you one last question before I go.
Yes.
So if nothing happens December the 21st, 2012, are you going to have to rename your show from Doomsday Show to what? What's the opposite?
Well, you know, my point has always been this, that whether we're talking about 2012 and the current situation, 2013 and years hopefully to come, I mean, we're seeing a steady decline, that's for sure, in the environment. And there are more and more and more of these disasters taking place. And I think we've only seen the very tip of the iceberg.
Well, that's true. You're going to have great floodings worldwide because Neptune now, the planet Neptune's in its own sign of Pisces.
Right.
First time in 175 years. So you're getting, it's great for Pisceans for intuition
right.
and movies and all the, you know, all that creative stuff. Romance, but it's also causing great flooding, great inundations of low-lying lands. You're going to see islands disappearing. You're going to see the Portuguese, those Portuguese islands? I've always said that
yes.
in my mind. The Antilles? Antilles disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see, as they say, burning and drying up of certain areas of the world and migrations up to cooler, as again, I keep getting this Northwest territories you're going to have. And then you're going to have the interference of the star gods returning to do a designated culling procedure. All this will take a good 10 or 20. It's not going to be a sudden overnight flipping its lid, the planet. That, if the poles ever flip their lid, as they've done, two or three times in the Earth's history, which proved that the sun at one time rose from the west and set in the east. Well, then you wouldn't have to worry about too much. But I doubt very much it's going to be that. And if it was, we wouldn't have to be, we wouldn't be worrying about anything after that.
Well, you know, there's three areas that of greatest concern. One is, and this the Mayans very much believe in, one is, of course, the condition of the sun, and we know, no question about it, you don't need to be a Mayan to know that the sun is acting up, which it does periodically, but it's not just in a solar maximum, it's in a solar I don't know what, but the protuberances from the sun that are normally aimed away from the Earth are now coming toward the Earth. Some of them are almost directly targeting our planet, and the consequences of that could be very, very great. Second concern is Planet X, and if Planet X is indeed out there, and this very interesting photograph came out just about a week ago, it's taken by an airline passenger over Melbourne, Australia, that purports to show the Planet X system, meaning not only that planet, but also some companion stars. So the Mayans very much believe in Planet X coming around every 3,600 years. And thirdly, worst-case scenario for sure, as you just referred to, a possible pole shift, which is something, incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, that Albert Einstein felt was exceedingly possible, not necessarily in this particular time frame, but it could happen. Now, the Mayans believe...
Are you talking about a polar flip or a polar shift?
Yeah, the Mayans believe that this happens about maybe once every 24,000 years. So, you know, it would seem that so-called window of opportunity, and it's not a very good opportunity, but that window is fairly broad. But the sun is another matter. I mean, you only have to monitor the sun on a daily or weekly basis, as I do, and as Space.com does, and many, many other scientists do. To see that the sun is acting up like crazy, sunspots, the solar flares, particularly solar flares like as large as Jupiter, that could incinerate us in a matter of seconds. And we're also not protected by the shield that would normally protect the Earth is deteriorated. So those solar flares can have, can knock out our power grid instantly, and then we're back in the dark ages. So
we've had that a couple of times. With the, 1966, the great blackout of the Western Hemisphere, New York State, and all
well,
that.
Yeah, well, that's just Anthony. That's just a taste of it. I mean, it could get a lot worse. We're not talking about a one day blackout. I mean,
this could be
for months and years to come.
Do you know the one commodity that everybody should think about? No matter what, there'll be no electricity, our monetary system will break down because everything is done by computers. Right. Nobody has gold to walk around. You know, the one commodity that everybody will need, which would be invaluable, and they should walk around and start stockpiling it right now. Nobody's ever thought of this because you won't be able to start a fire. There won't be any way to cook. There won't be any, right? Should start stockpiling wooden matches and hide them in a cave. Man, they'd be worth their weight in gold, no pun intended.
Is that what you're going to do, Anthony, the survivalist?
Oh, no, I always do as I say, don't do as I do. And at my age, I don't have the energy. I'll tell you the truth. The real countdown Armageddon, and I had this prediction salted away in my desk for 50 years, and I wrote, when I die... The world we what I say? When I go, the world we know will be no more. The countdown to Armageddon when I pass will be exponentially sped up or speeded up. And I want to tell you that at the news of my passing, that's when all hell will break. That sounds very egotistical, but believe me, I'm in no hurry to go. Or as Ayn Rand, who wrote Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead, they asked her on her deathbed, so what will happen, what do you think happens when you die? And she said, well, for me, the universe will cease to exist. So in a sense, I guess that's the way it will be. But I took that out of my drawer, and as you know, I put it in my book last year, And that was the beginning of the tsunamis and all the beginning of the world shifts and geological shifts we're experiencing now. And this is only just the beginning. I, to tell you the truth, would not want to be in this world at my age to try and survive as all the young people will have to do. It would be worse than World War One or Two. I'm in no great hurry to stay on this earth. You know, as long as it's quick and painless, it's great for me. I don't mind.
Anthony, Anthony, before I let you go, what's your take on the shape of the world economy in the immediate future?
You know, I've been writing for years that money, paper money as we know, will no longer exist. I often, and as you know, the Mark of the Beast, chapter 13 in Revelation, the Mark of the Beast 50 years ago, I said, would probably be something like a great computer which would control all finances, all credit. Every human being would have to have that mark in the form of a credit card or in plastic in your hand, 666. You see all right. The license plates now. And without that, everyone else would perish. And, you know, and it said, and I was the only one who said in those days where it says, the beast would be seen rising from the sea. It had seven heads and 10 diadems or 10 crowns on its head. One of its heads seemed, this is the key word, seemed or appears to have received a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And all the great biblical pundits were extrapolating, and they were saying, well, it means a world leader will come along, he'll get shot in the head, he'll die, but he'll come back to life, and that's all you know is the Antichrist. Well, it's not what it says. It says, appears to have received a mortal wound. And on that day, Gorbachev showed up here in Toronto with that scar, that birthmark on his head, and it looked like a world leader who appeared to have had a mortal wound and was healed. Well, I went up to Gorbachev and got through all of the security and said, do you realize, after I looked at his palm, that your birthmark on your forehead resembles the mark of the beast? Well, he knew it was, because right away I was attacked by 50,000 security guards, and he had makeup all over his forehead to try and disguise that. And at the same time he was here, you had Gorbachev at the other end of the country, and what did it say in the Revelations? And the beast gave his power and authority to the second beast. And then he took over as the head of Russia, and not that they themselves did anything, it's just that they're showing up at this juncture in space and history, marked the beginning of the countdown to Armageddon, which we're getting closer and closer to, the World War.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. Thanks very much, Anthony, and let's try to get Jacqueline Stallone on the program.
We will, and don't forget my website, anthonycarrpsychic.com.
Very good, thank you. And anyone who has seen a UFO sighting tonight as a result of our experiment, please send me a note. I'm at nebula2002@aol.com. This is Mike Luckman signing off. Radio Doomsday Live. Tune in next week, if there is a next week.